Behold means see. If I say, behold, see, all things has become new. So God is saying, see it. All things has become new.
Pastor Benga's teachings constantly remind me of who I am in Christ. And now I can live every day of my life in that consciousness.
Pastor Benga's message has been precise and understandable for me. It has helped me understand and see God's plan towards my finance.
You're about to listen to a message by Pastor Olu Benga Taiwo, brought to you by Justified House Media. We know that you'll be blessed as you open your heart to receive God's word.
I want to look at the overview of the Bible because I'm going to be talking about what I'm going to be sharing. Basically, I'm going to be sharing revelation of God's word. Amen. I'm going to be sharing revelation of God's word. So I'm not sharing science. I'm not sharing opinions. I'm sharing opinion is, I think this is this. You know, but I'm sharing God's word. Amen. And I want us to see the book of 2 Peter 1. Let's see how the Bible came about. 2 Peter 1, let's see verse 16. So Peter was sharing the upper, when they went to the mountain of transfiguration. It was wonderful. They saw Moses, they saw Elijah. You know, they were with Jesus. Both of them were with Jesus. You know, they saw the glory. Verse 16 says, for we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So this was, it was talking about the transfiguration experience. So, but look at what it says. So it's, you know, just like someone saying, oh, I had a vision. I saw Jesus. You know, oh, I had this wonderful dream. Or someone, so Peter was saying that, okay, if it's about that, we had this. But look at what it says in verse 19. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You see, a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word. That means it is greater than the experience that he saw. You understand? Oh, wow. Someone say, oh, wonderful. I saw Elijah. Oh, I saw this. You know? Oh, you know, Jesus said this. Oh, someone, you know. No matter the experience, spiritual experience, he says, what? He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He says, whereunto you do well that you take heed. So he's telling us, giving us an instruction to take heed to the sure word of prophecy above what? Experience. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So we are to take, you know, we are to take take heed unto the scriptures until the word of God shines forth. Talking about manifestation of the word. So we are to take heed unto the scriptures. Then verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy. So it's giving us the when he says we have a more sure word of prophecy, he's telling us the main thing here. He's saying, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is a private interpretation. For the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. So he's telling us that the scriptures were born out of prophecies. Hallelujah. So the prophecy of the scripture They came not, they didn't come because the man says, oh, I just feel like talking. I just feel like, oh, this is what God wants to do. No. He says they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we are looking at the overview of the Bible. We're looking at the scriptures. So when we begin, as I will begin to teach about God's word, someone will not say, oh, okay, what about I had this dream? We are supposed to call back and say, we have a more sure word of what? Of prophecy. Also, let's look at the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3. Look at verse. Let's start from verse 15. It says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Then it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God inspired the scripture, the writings, the holy writings, as he said. Because men of God, they speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. As they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Somebody jotted all these things down. Amen. So by what they spoke, what they saw at that time, what God said he was going to do, someone wrote it down. So, and he says, this is above and beyond all the visions and everything one can see right now. Also, when we look at the Bible, let's look at the book of Luke. Let's look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. So, in this place, Jesus Christ had died and he has resurrected. So, this was on the third day. So, there were two disciples of his that were going on the road to Emmaus. And they were talking about things that had happened. Because, Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb and she saw angels and even the Lord saying that she should go and tell the brethren and everything. So then these ones they were just discussing. Then Jesus joined them himself to them, saying, oh, what are you guys talking about? And like, are you a stranger here in Jerusalem? Haven't you heard about Jesus Christ, who was a mighty prophet, and did a whole lot of miracles? And the chief priest and the law, the chief and the scribes, they killed him. And now he said that now we heard a rumor that some women came and said he is alive. So that's just a summary of what happened. Then also, if we continue from verse 25. Then said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. When I meditate about this thing, this is instructive. It means once somebody is slow to believe, the person is a fool. What the Bible has said. Do you understand? The person is a fool. It says, because the scriptures were given to us by prophets. You understand? Holy men of God who spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. These things were jotted down. So when somebody is slow to believe, so slow, it is not me. This is what Jesus Christ said. He says the person is what? Is a fool. Say, all fools, foolish. So it's not the foolishness there. It's not like someone is describing the person. It's a state of, when you say, imagine Imagine these days, we say if somebody is 40 years old and then is behaving in a particular way, you say, this man is a fool because by 40, you shouldn't be doing this kind of thing. Do you understand? In this realm of life. So he's classified, you just say, this fool or something. It's not like they're abusing him. It's because at this, they expect more from him. So in this one, too, the Lord is classifying that when someone is slow to believe, person is a fool. Say, they're all fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So when I begin to show you God's word about you, you are supposed to what? Just take it in. Receive it that it is yours. Don't doubt anything. Amen. As long as you see that it's what the prophet has prophesied about you. And I show you that this is what has been written about you. Take it in. Amen. Say, I take it in. Say, I take it in. Yes. So Jesus said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? That means Jesus, he was saying that, can you reduce that, any of those 2 days, you can just put it down. So he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So, with this, we are able to see that, can you put it up a bit? Just, so, alright, it's okay. So ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So it says, I'm beginning at Moses. This Moses here is the books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, you know, the books that were supposedly written or book, what are those are the books considered of books of Moses. So, and all the prophets, the Psalms, the book of the prophets and all those ones, you know, he expounded unto them and explained in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So he began to show them that the things that he began to show them, let me put it in this way, because it's not definitely everything is not about Christ. Some people say, oh, all the whole scriptures about Christ. No. Not all. When you study the scripture, you see that there are some that these are just. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not everything that about Christ. So there are some things that are about Christ, and I believe that was what Jesus began to explain unto them. So, and that is exactly what we will be learning in this conference. Remember, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold. Behold means see. If I say behold, see. All things has become new. So God is saying, see. See it. All things has become new. So this conference will be giving insights into who we are in Christ Jesus. That is the real image. That is the real person that we are. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So as we'll be opening the scriptures, we'll be saying these things. I want us to also see the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth this sayings of mine, this is Jesus, whosoever heareth this sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a what? A rock. What made it to be founded upon a rock? And he did it. Because this other person, look at what he says in verse 26. And everyone that heareth these things, these sayings of mine, that means the word of God, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Wonderful. Amen. So, we are receiving the word to do them. Praise the Lord. Say, I'm receiving God's word to do them. Yes. So, you are receiving God's word to do it. Not to argue with it. Not to start contemplating whether maybe to do it or not to do it. You know, you are receiving God's word in your spirit to do it. Amen. The word of God is showing you who you are. Praise the Lord. Let's say the book of James. James. The book of James. James chapter 1. So verse 21 says, wherefore, lay apart all, that means, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. You see? That's what I was saying, where you receive the word of God. You have to receive the word of God. So, it says, the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Which is able to save your souls. So, man is a spirit. That's what, that have a soul and lives in the body. Man is not the body. Man is not the soul. When you look at the Bible, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, what does it say? Romans chapter 10, let's look at verse 9 to 10. It says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, it says, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. It says the man shall be saved. The man shall be saved. Who is the man? The spirit of the man shall be saved. Amen. So it's the spirit. Also, when you look at the book of 1 Corinthians, let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter, I'll start from verse, chapter 3, sorry. So, Paul was talking about how he's a minister with Apollos. He does the foundation, you know, he lays the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Once a man becomes saved, the foundation of that man is Christ Jesus. Verse 11, which it says, then it says, then verse 12 talks about teachings and all. Then when you look at verse 13 or verse 14, it says, if any man walk, abide, which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. Talking about the minister. This is talking about the minister, not the person. Verse 15 now says, if any man's walk shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be what? Shall be saved. What do you think will be saved there? It's the man's spirit. Because the man's spirit, actually, it is not at that point the man is saved. It is when the man receives Christ, he became saved. Do you understand? And the person that is saved is the spirit. The man is the man that became brand new is the spirit of that man. Amen. But when you look at James here, James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, our souls too can be saved. Do you understand? You get the gist? So our souls too can be saved when we receive God's word. Our souls can be, and when our soul is saved, when our soul is prosperous, it affects the body. So right now, as we are in the Beyond Healing Conference, once your soul comes to understand that, okay, you can be sick, your body works instantly, begins to function in that light. But once the person's soul suffers, the body suffers. So James is saying here that we should receive the engrafted word. We are still talking about the overview of the Bible. We are still looking at the overview of the Bible, the word of God. So, which is able to save our soul. How? How is he able to save our soul? How do we come to that place? Verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So when we hear God's word and we do them, our soul is saved. Do you understand? It's not just hearing the word that just saves it. Else the person becomes a mental assent and it doesn't really affect the soul. The soul is still the same. It still behaves the same. The thoughts are still the same. Do you understand what I'm saying? The thoughts, the way the person, the running knowledge, the understanding. When mosquito bites the person, that's, oh, I'm going to be sick. Even though the person has been taught in church that you can't be sick. But because the person is a mental assent Christian. That means someone who is not a doer of the word. So he's running knowledge. When I'm talking about running knowledge here, I'm talking about the knowledge that just comes to him on a natural, as in naturally. It's just like in the normal Nigerian setting, once a mosquito bites somebody, you just say, oh, you're going to have, I already have malaria. Or when there are mosquitoes in this place and somebody sleeps in this place, go and start treating for malaria. It's just a running knowledge of a mental, of a normal person. So if the person has a mother, is malaria, that kind of a thing. That will happen to you. You have to go and start taking this thing. You have to go and start buying this drug and all those kind of a thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? The running knowledge is just the knowledge that just comes without thinking. When you wake up the person in the morning, that knowledge just runs in his mind. So the word of God, when we are doers of the word, that knowledge we have gotten, it turns to a running knowledge. Do you understand? Something that just becomes a part of you. You know it that this is my state. Amen. So, and at that point, that is when the soul has been saved. Because the soul now begins to think on it's functioning on another level. It's not functioning based on the normal level. Because it's not something that you have to start thinking, it's just like when you ask, 1 + 1 = 2. It's not the one that you are now, you have to start, what did I remember in church? Okay, they taught me about it. No, it's just a running knowledge that just comes, it just flows. So God wants our souls to be saved. And how, according to this, they say, when we are doers of his word, not hearers only. It says, deceiving our own selves. So when somebody deceives himself, it means the person is not truthful to himself. So it's not that when we are not doing God's word, we are not deceiving God. We are not even deceiving the pastor. You know? Because you say, ah, maybe if I don't do this, whatever. You know, that's why some people are babies. They are just forever, as in they just love. And they know that they are deceiving themselves. Because if you don't come, if somebody maybe doesn't come for a conference like this, or, you know, who is he deceiving? Himself. You don't get the knowledge. The next few, okay, I was looking at, okay, I got a mail from UBA that was saying, welcome to Code and Catharsis. Yes. Welcome to Code and Catharsis. You know, it's a normal... that's what I'm saying. It's just the if someone with code you know, it's just a running knowledge of the world. I can't remember when last I and I can't. The season just comes and goes. So it's a running knowledge of the world. It's a running knowledge of the world that shouldn't be for you, Christian. So he says, if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he bearded himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the word of God shows us, this is what the prophets have showed us about ourselves. This is who we are in Christ. But this man listens to it, and then he turns, and immediately... he hears the word. And then a situation like that comes up. He cannot act on the word. So it likens to the man that because he's unable to act on the word. Or not unable. Because he chooses not to act on the word. You know, he's like a man that turns his back from the mirror. And forgets the way he looks like. He forgets what the word of God has showed him. About himself. So this conference will be learning about who God has said we are, and we'll be receiving it. Amen. And we are doers of the word. Say, I'm a doer of the word. Verse 25 says, and whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So the perfect law of liberty here is talking about the word of God. He says, and continueth. They say, I continue in God's word. I continue in God's word. Irrespective of the opinions of men, irrespective of the circumstances, I continue in God's word. He says, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen. So he says, this is the person that will be blessed in his deed. Now let's look at, when he's talking about continuing in God's word, let's look at the book of Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So Jesus spoke a particular parable about a sower who went to sow. And when he sowed seeds, says some fell by the wayside, you know, fowls of the air. That means birds came and ate it up. He says, some fell on stony grounds where there were not much sand. And immediately it sprung up. And because it had no much sound, when the sun was up, you know, and it was really burning, it had no roots, it withered away. He says, some fell upon thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no fruits. That's verse 7. Verse 8 says, some fell on good ground and did yield fruits that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Amen. Now, he wants to begin to explain God's... He wants to begin to explain. Verse 14. He says, the sower soweth the word, which the Lord will be using me to sow. He says, soweth the word, and these are they, that means the hearers, are they by the way where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. This one says immediately. What? Distraction. Do you understand? So they don't even. What did I just say? I don't know. I just said it. You don't know. And all because somebody did not hear that word. He will need that word tomorrow. But it has been stolen away from him. Do you understand? The stolen there is not as if Satan came and stole it. But Satan distracted him so that he would not be able to get it. You understand? The next one he talks about is... So he says, Satan cometh immediately and take away the word that is sown in their hearts. Verse 16 says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony grounds, who when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. That means this one. Oh, oh, wonderful. And have no roots in themselves. Now, it doesn't mean we shouldn't receive the word in gladness. You understand? In joy. We should. But he's telling us here the reason. In verse 17, what actually added to it that didn't make this one fruitful? He says, and have no roots in themselves, and so endure, but for a time. So when he says he have no roots in themselves, it means these ones, they didn't meditate on it. They didn't meditate on it. They didn't, because of low meditation, at the time they received it, oh great, wonderful, but no meditation, no going back, no. They didn't give themselves unto the word they have heard. They didn't go back, open the Bible, check it. So he says here, but have no roots in themselves, and so endure, but for a time. Afterward, when affliction. And or what? Or persecution. Now, note, you can see those two words are two different things. Affliction comes. Both of them comes as a result of the word. But persecution comes from people. The reason why Satan, and both of them are coming, is Satan that is influencing them. Do you understand? Satan is influencing them, or not just Satan sometimes. Nature, well, indirectly Satan. Nature, Satan will use, that is the one for affliction. Satan will cause nature to come against what the person believes. Take for example, the one of Job. It wasn't as if, that wasn't persecution. Do you understand? Job wasn't, that was not persecution. That was affliction. Diseases. You know, a whole lot of, you know, he had thousands of cattle, all of them just died in a day. Affliction was just, you know, that was affliction. That was not persecution. Persecution is when, like you talk about that, the prophets are persecuted. Jesus was persecuted, he was killed. That was persecution. That was not affliction. You understand? So he's saying here, because if persecution affliction ariseth for the word's sake. So, as funny as it is, because every year of this word, of this conference, affliction might, it says when will come. Do you understand? If the person has not started living in divine health, if he wants to begin to step into that, affliction will come. If the person has not had maybe, I'm just giving an example, maybe migraine or whatever, because of this word the person will be listening to, all those things will start coming. It will look as if, where are all these things coming from? You know, it's because of the word. The word you've received. Satan wants you to doubt it. Do you understand? But glory to God. Jesus has prayed for you. We have also prayed for you. Amen. Yes. And it says, immediately they are offended. So these are the kind of people that say, that thing doesn't work. I was saying, in Jesus' name, it's not working. It doesn't work. So it says immediately. This one, they didn't have no patience. In the Bible says that faith brings about what? Patience. You've seen it. Let's look at the book of Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. Right? If you start from verse 2, he started talking about faith. Well, so we have access into, by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. You know, and patience experience, and experience hope. So, and that's how it is. Even in when we want to step into, living in divine health, before you know, it's just an experience that this thing is just a normal thing. You understand? You just know that you can't be sick. There's just this consciousness. It begins to build you. Do you understand? Because, like I said, remember the scripture talks about who continues in the word, right? Yeah. And even Jesus was talking about these ones. It's not just, you know, they have no roots. But if the word of God, as it is coming to you and is rooted in you, when he said it is rooted, it is planted, you know. So you are just speaking God's word, no matter the circumstances. You are just saying God's word, as we'll be seeing today. You are just saying God's word. The Bible says that these ones, okay, we are still going to come to that. But let's look at verse 18. So verse 18 talks about these ones are offended. Verse 18, Mark chapter 4. It says, these are they which are sowed among thorns, the same word of God. It says, such hear the word, and the cares of this life, and the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, wonderful. I talked about deceitfulness of riches. Riches that deceive people. It looks, you know, deceitfulness of riches. And the lust of other things entering in shook the world and becoming unfruitful. So Jesus is showing us here that the cares of life, and we are still going to look at that, how you must constantly stay filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the word. You can't say you want to live in divine health and you want to live a lazy Christian life, or someone wants to just be living anyhow. If you like, maybe you just come to church once in a week, or you just want to live anyhow. Because immediately you want to start living a natural life, instantly you are functioning on another level. Because divine life, when you're living in divine health, you are functioning above the natural realm. Because naturally, it's natural for someone to be sick. So when you are living in the divine health, you are functioning on another law, greater than the law of the earth. So once, and definitely for it to function on that law, you must walk according to God's word. So when somebody is coming back, trying to live naturally, what else do you expect? You should expect the results of the natural law to come on that person. Do we understand? So he's saying here that the cares of this world, and that's why I've always thought that if the kind of money you are making will make you not to live in divine health, drop those money. That money is not worth it. Because at the end of the day, when you are getting those kind of money, you know, you might die prematurely. And of what use is it? If the kind of job, if the kind of thing you're doing is not making you, you're saying that you're sick, or even where you are, it's making you that. These are some of the things some people don't understand, that, oh, maybe when I was in school, I used to live in divine health. I used to, you know, but now, maybe I graduated, and now I'm no more living in divine. These are some of the things. I'm working nine. When you ask the person, don't ask the person these kind of questions. Let's talk about your work. What time do you leave for work? I leave for work around 6 or 7 a.m. What time do you come back home? I come back home around 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. Okay. You do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Or maybe, okay, Monday to Friday. You have no time for God's word. Those kind of work. And then you want to, okay, you want to say you want to live in divine health. And even in the kind of work you're doing, because there are some work that, well, you can still focus your mind on God's word. Or maybe when you come back, you say that, oh, you want to have time. Or maybe those kind of people, you say that, okay, I wake up quite early. If you're seeing you're working that kind of work, okay, maybe what if I wake up quite early? Maybe around 5, I do, you know, I pray in tongues. I get myself, do you understand what I'm saying? Because someone say, okay, does it mean that this kind of work or something, one shouldn't work this kind of work? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm trying to show you that if you're saying you want to do those kind of a thing, then make sure you put you are doing this. I mean, you're saying, okay, maybe you're going to wake up early, right? Do you understand what I'm saying? You're waking up early, maybe by 5 or so, and you do your praying, you do your study, you get yourself filled with the word of God, so that the cares of this life doesn't choke the word out of you. Because that's what the devil wants. He just wants to make sure that the word of God you have received is not productive. The person is not zealous about the Lord. All he cares is about his money, about his self, about his increment, about the salary, about promotion, all those kind of nonsense. That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about the Lord. He doesn't, and he doesn't care, you know, those kind of, I don't want to just go into that. But look at verse 20, it says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruits, some 30-fold and some 60 and some 100. Amen. So it says, these ones, they hear God's word and receive it. These ones are doers of the word. Amen. They are the ones who meditate on God's word. They are the ones who does God's word, who doesn't allow the cares of this life to choke it. Because all these things actually happen to everybody. It's not as if it would not want to happen to everybody. It would want to happen. But these are the ones who still maintain their stand when the cares of this life want to choke God's word. They might try to fall, you know, like I always share about how when I was working in the bank then, I think from leave home by 6 till around 8 or so, you know. And, well, I could have actually done better. But even the environment of the bank, the cussings, the abuses, well, maybe it was just specific to that bank where I worked. Maybe just the environment, or maybe because we were just juniors, we're just coming in, you know. But even as we're coming in, we're executive staffs, because we're being trained to become managers or so. So even at that, maybe I believe it was just specific to that bank. But the environment didn't allow you a bit to meditate on God's word. You're always focused on this. You're always focused on going out for this thing. You're always focused on worry. From now, when I come home, I'm tired. Once I put my head on the, I'm sleeping. Waking up again, you're thinking of work. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like I'll just say that I must go to church. From this thing, from the bank, I'll just take a bus straight to church. And that one gone, I'll make sure that I close. I'll do everything I can to go there. And even in church, sometimes just very tired. But you're just there, just listening and all. And going back home again, you're tired, and then I was staying with my cousin, have to do some, you know, house chores and everything. By time, so Monday to Friday, you are just choked. It's not about God, it's just about yourself, about the job, about pleasing your boss and everything. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to say that is not the answer, but that environment is not good. That kind of stuff, if one is in that kind of stuff, you have to check it. Either you can do something to increase it. Well, maybe I was a late sleeper or something, or I don't know. Maybe it could be, like I said, maybe you wake up earlier. If you are someone like that, maybe you give yourself time. At 5 o'clock, you wake up. If you used to leave by 7 o'clock, so 5 to 7, you have a wonderful time with the Holy Spirit. You understand? When you come again in the night, or, you know, with the Holy Spirit and His Word. But one thing is certain. You just have to get yourself full of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live an effective Christian life when the cares of this world is just so around you. That is the truth. I know it's very offensive, but that's just the truth. All right. So, with this, we have been able to see the scriptures. We've been able to see how God inspired the Word, the written Word. I've taught about how Jesus, okay, when we go to the book of John, the book of John chapter 1, how Jesus is God's spoken word. Jesus is God's spoken word. The Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. Was the Word, was the spoken word. God said, let there be light, you know. And there was light. And the Word was with God. And the Word of God that came out from His mouth was God. The Word of God was an extension of God. He says, the same was in the beginning. That means the Word was in the beginning with God. Verse 3 says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So this was the Word of God. Also, when you look at John, Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the Word of God is alive. Not quick. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the divided asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Word of God is able to see into your heart. It's able to penetrate your heart. It's able to change thoughts. It's able to heal marrows, bones, blood. Amen. He said, neither is there any image that is not manifest in whose sight? In His sight. The Word of God's sight. So it calls the Word of God His sight. Do you understand? Because he's talking about the Word of God is alive. So he said, neither is, you know, there's nothing that is not manifest, that is not made seen in His sight. So the Word of God that God spoke is alive. And verse 12 says, John chapter 1 verse 12. Or verse 14. Let's go to verse 14. Or let me continue from verse 3. It says, all things were made by the Word. And without the Word was not anything made that was made. In the Word was life. In Him. So we are going to substitute in Him for the Word. So in the Word was life. And the life was the light of men. And the Word shineth in darkness. Remember, the Word is life. The life was a light. That means give direction to men. So the Word shines in darkness, and darkness could not comprehend it. So let's jump to verse 10. Verse 10 says, the word was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own. The Word came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Let's jump to verse 14. It says, and the Word, so it comes back to us that it is the Word it's talking about, was made flesh, and what? And lived, dwelt among us. This is the spoken Word of God. So the spoken Word of God became a human being. Amen. Remember, we have been reading about the prophecy of the Holy, you know, the word of God. The spoken word of God too that came out of the prophets. They were alive. Those things we were living. But now, the word became written. The word is still capable. When we put this written word on back to our lips, it has the same ability. It has life. It still penetrates marrows. It still penetrates bones. Amen. It still gives direction to men. Hallelujah. So the spoken word of God is what is called the Rhema. So the word of God is truth above science, above opinions, as we've seen. So when science tells you something, and or opinion, someone say, oh, this, you know, I think this is this, or, you know. Let's look at what God's word says about you. Amen. The word of God says, the word of God is truth. All right. So now that we've been able to see, because I wanted us to see the Bible. Let's say it. Now that we've been able to see God's word, we've been able to see an overview of the Bible. And I said it that the scriptures contains everything in scripture is not God's word. We have actually the word of God. We have the word of the devil. We have the word of man. Categorically, I can just say these three. We have the word of man. We have the word of God. And we have the word of the devil. Even though God inspired men to write these things, it's just like if I should tell you that I want you to write this event. This was the event that happened yesterday between myself and Brock Kingsley. And I'm telling you, okay, we went to the field yesterday. You wrote it down. We went to the Lord and, you know, Pastor Binger and Brock Kingsley went to the field yesterday. We bought an orange while we're on our way. We bought an orange. They bought an orange while they were on the... do you understand? You are writing what I'm telling you to write. So you are writing the events that happened. And that was exactly how we should say the way the prophets wrote. They wrote events. They wrote things that God had told them about the future. They wrote things about what God is telling them is happening at their present time. Do you understand? So it contains the word, and they wrote what God himself said, this is what he's going to do. Amen. So, and they themselves sometimes, okay, yeah, like I said, sometimes even their own impute is in it. So we must, when we study the Bible, we must be able to differentiate, is this the word of God? Is this the word of man? Is this the word of the devil? Take for example, Adam and Eve was not the person, they were not the person that wrote the book of Genesis, right? Moses wrote the book of Genesis. But we see that the events that happened, that played out, God told Moses to write it. You understand? But if someone now looks at this one and say, oh no, all the whole Bible is the word of God, then I should also tell the person, okay, the place where the devil said to, what's the name? The devil said to, in Genesis chapter 3, that it, verse 4, that he says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die. Was that God that said to the woman, ye shall not die? No, it was the devil speaking through the serpent. But God inspired the prophet Moses to write about this. Amen. So as we begin to study this, we'll begin to see, and does that show that Christ in that, oh, it is Christ that shall not die? Oh, no. So as we study the Bible, we must be able to see how there are some that talks about Jesus. There are some that were just the instructions of man. It doesn't just, Jesus talks about it, that there were some that Moses wrote himself because of the hardness of their hearts. Do you understand? He wrote he himself. It was not God that told him. He himself did it. And the Lord allowed it.
because of the hardness of the Israelites' hearts. So, we must be able, when we are studying the Bible, as we will be doing, we should be, we will be able to see the difference. So, I'm
trust that you have been blessed. We love you to share your testimonies with us through our social media pages. You can also email us at justifiedhouseministries@gmail.com. You're invited to fellowship with us Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays 9 a.m. at Justified House Auditorium Combination, beside all your teaching hospital, Shagam, Ogun State, for a refreshing time with the Lord Jesus, near your family.